My name is Reverend Paul Jordan, and the topic we're going to look at today is angels and demons. Because it's so extensive, we're going to have to split this into two parts. So the first part you'll watch right now is actually the part on angels, and part two will be the part on the demonic, or understanding how demons can influence believers and non-believers also. So if you have your Bible, please grab your Bible and a notepad and a pen, and we are going to take a look in depth on angels and also demons in the part two series. But we are going through lots of scripture, because really opinions are like noses. Everybody has at least one. And my opinion may be different than your opinion, which may be different than Beth's opinion or Alfred's opinion. But what we're primarily using is scripture to see what does really God say on these topics, and to give us a biblical view of how angels can encourage us as believers, how God has created them, how he's put them there, and their role and kind of what they do and how they can help us. So we're going to just kind of start by looking at your Bible. This video is designed for people that have been believers for a long time, or people that are just new believers. But when you open your Bible, you'll see that the first book written is the book of Genesis, and then the last book written is the book of Revelation. So you've got the Old Testament, which is most of our Bible. It's about this much of the Bible. And various people were the authors of the Bible in writing those books, even though God was the one that gave them what to say. They actually used their penmanship and wrote it down. God spoke it to them. Well, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were written by Moses. And even though it's not stated exactly when certain books were written, many theologians believe that chronologically, the first book actually written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was the book of Job. And Job, the dates of when it was written is really unknown. But we know that it wasn't until Moses came that he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's a hard word to say. So, what we're going to look at in the story of Job is the first thing that Job really talks about in that book. Who the author is, we're not very sure, but it's all about spiritual warfare and understanding angels and how the enemy Satan is involved in that as well. Then if you go to the New Testament with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you keep going until Revelation, that's the New Testament. The first book actually written in the New Testament was the book of James. James was written around 44 to 49 AD. And even James talks mostly about spiritual warfare and understanding the warfare, the battle that we're in. So it's very imperative, just looking at our own lives and our own walk with God, that we kind of look and study about angels and about demons, and then not just study for information, but how can we use this to transform our lives, to encourage us, and how can this information be usable in our daily lives and things like that. So this video is going to be for single men, for single women, for married couples that have kids, for married couples without kids, for even older generations. Wherever you are in life, this video, we're praying that God would use it to really encourage your heart, to really strengthen you, and to really just give you an awareness of the battle that we're in, and to understand. So we're going to be using a lot of stories just through our counseling at Biblical Restoration Ministries, and just around the world, different examples that we've seen or heard through different missionaries as we talked to them and counseled with them. So if you have your Bible, let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now, the translation I'm going to be reading from is the ESV. If you have a King James or NIV or any other different translation, you'll notice there may be some words spoken a little differently. But it says in Job 1:6, this is the first mention of angels in the Bible chronologically, from when the very first book written, probably Job, And it said, now there was a day when the sons of God, which is a reference to angels, the sons of God, because Jesus was known as the Son, singular, the Son of God. So the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So here's the first reference we have to angels actually appearing in the Bible. And we don't know exactly when that book was written or the time it was written and things like that. So what we're going to do is, as we study this topic of angelology or the study of angels, we're going to look at three major points. We're going to look at how angels are in relation to God first, how they are in relation to events in history and with Jesus as Jesus came and was on earth. We're also going to look at their, and spend most of our time, and how their relation is with us as believers. So if you have your Bible again, we're going to go to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. We see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him," which is Jesus, "all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Now we're going to get to this later in part two, but thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities are all categories of even demonic spirits, is what he's referencing here in the original Greek. So visible or invisible, the things we can see, the trees, the grass, the sunset, the beautiful sunset, but the things we can't see, the angels fighting battles, even right now while you're watching this video, for truth, and the enemy trying to distract us from truth and trying to torment us and trying to give lies to us and things like that. That is going on all the time, and it says here that Jesus created all those things, and it was created through him and for him, for the glory of God. And if we could say any one thing of why we've created this video, is to glorify only God alone. And even part two is, when we go through a study of the enemy, we are going to be focused on the glory of God and talking about the enemy. So angels were created before the creation of the world. If you look in Genesis 1:1, in your Bible, this is probably one of the most important verses most people know. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, how come it doesn't say that God created the angels? Well, when God created the heavens and the earth, that means he created time and space at that point in time. And angels are not within our dimensions or our limitations on earth. Angels don't have space, which means that they are not located where I could touch them or I could feel them. Okay, God would send angels as messengers to appear, and they would take a physical form or things like that. But to understand, angels are not God. They cannot be everywhere at once. They are only at one specific location at a time. And they are within are outside our limits according to time as well. So they are worshiping God, is what we're going to look at, and they are spending all the time with God, eagerly waiting before when God gives them an assignment, and with the swiftness they accomplish to the degree God wants them to do everything that he asks of them. Okay, so God did create angels before he created the world, all of them perfect in however he designed them and how he created them. There are archangels. Michael's one of the archangels. There's cherubim, seraphim, ministering spirits. And what we're going to look at is there are hosts and thousands of angels in God's army. So what we're going to look at is Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, he does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So God did not need to make angels. He did not need to make us. But because of his glory and his desire and his will, God decided he would make angels. And he set them appointed to what he would want them to do. Okay, and what do they do most of the time is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So the angels are in heaven worshiping God in Isaiah and also in Revelation. It says that they are both saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." So here the angels are before God, worshiping him, giving glory to him, and praising him for who he really is. And that is one of the major things that they are doing all the time, is worshiping God. So when we decide that we want to worship God too, then we are joining with the angels doing what they're doing. Revelation chapter 5 in the New Testament says, "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." Another translation says an innumerable amount of angels, "saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" Revelation 5, verse 11. Angels are also singing. If you look in Job chapter 38, verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of glory shouted for joy." Now, in Job chapter 38 is when God created the earth. And he is talking to Job, explaining, "Job, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when this verse, verse 7, when the morning stars," another name for angels, "were singing together and all the sons of God," all the angels, "were shouting for joy when I created the earth." And not only that, but the angels are also wanting to serve God eagerly, just awaiting for any order that God would give them. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, "And when God gives them an order, they do it quickly and fervently." And it says in Hebrews 1, 7, of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and the ministers a flame of fire." When God gives an angel a command, that angel, as swift as wind, travels to where God wants him to go to deliver the message exactly as what God would want him to say, all to glorify God and what God loves, which is us, his people. And so they are eagerly waiting before God, "What should I do?" You know, they are wanting to serve God. They also are personal messengers before God. Luke chapter 1 in the New Testament, verse 19. This was to Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And it says, "And an angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" So Gabriel is one of the angels in the presence of God, and he appeared to Zechariah to share, if you want to read more, just continue in Luke chapter 1, but he came to share to Luke, or to Zechariah, what God was planning on doing with him and his wife and the baby that they were going to conceive. Okay, he also appeared as a messenger. These angels can appear to messengers to Mary. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was named Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And that's where it starts, and then Gabriel continues to deliver to Mary the message that God had for her. Also to the shepherds. If you look in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Luke 2, verse 8 and 9. And in the same region there were shepherds out in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now, oftentimes, we may say of our wife or our girlfriend, "You're such a beautiful angel." Well, if that's biblically true, every time we see her, we should be on our hands and knees, scared, not knowing what she's going to do, or she's going to kill us. You know, that would be more of a biblical view of fear. And what happens when a person comes in contact with an angel? So these angels came to these shepherds and were revealing to the shepherds that Jesus had been born in the town of Galilee. So they were going to go and see Jesus also. Angels are also agents of God's government. They do exactly what God would want them to do. Now, the type of power that God has given these angels, if you look in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "After this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on the earth or sea or against any tree." Now that's amazing. According to science, we get a lot of wind from the rotation of the earth. These angels that God had given them this power and ability that they would be able to stand at the four corners of the earth and actually physically stop any wind from blowing against any tree. If that can give any glory to God, you just must be amazed at the power that God has given these angels and how these angels can be sent by God to encourage you, to strengthen you, to protect you and your family and everyone around it. So they are also used by God to be an executor of God's judgments. If you look in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 19, verse 1, verse 12, and verse 13, it says that the two angels came to Sodom. Now, this is Sodom and Gomorrah, a very evil, wicked city in Genesis. And Sodom and Gomorrah continually wanted to live without obeying God, with doing its own evil and wicked things. And so God, it says here, is going to pour out a judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he used angels to accomplish this. So verse 1, 12, and 13. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he arose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, daughters, or sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And that's what they do in the rest of Genesis. If you want to keep reading, you're able to. Another example of how he used them to destroy one of God's judgments and one of God's wrath is the Assyrians. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, there was 185,000 Assyrians. Now here's a pop quiz. How many angels were used to destroy the 185,000? These are mighty men, warriors, Arnold Schwarzenegger type guys. How many angels? The correct answer is one. If you look in 2 Kings 19, verse 35, "And that night the angel," the singular angel of the Lord, "went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies." When the children of Israel woke up and they went to the Assyrians, they realized they were all dead, the 185,000 men that were fighting. At creation, now these are times, what we're going to look at is part B. Where did God use angels in times that we have seen within our creation? The first time we looked at already, just a little review, Job 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy at the creation of the world. In Acts chapter 7, verse 35, it says, "You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." So angels were used by God to deliver the law to us as believers, that we would have the truth of God that God wanted to share with us. Also, they were involved in the major events of Christ. Once again, Luke chapter 2, verse 9. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds and around them, and they were filled with great fear." Even at Jesus' resurrection, if you turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 2 and verse 3, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow." Even involved in Christ's ascension, or when Jesus rose from the dead, if you turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" That was Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And once again, even at Christ's return, if you turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." That is going to be an amazing day. When Jesus comes back the same way he left in those clouds, and all of the angels, can you imagine those, what we already looked at, legions and thousands upon thousands of angels coming with Jesus, and Jesus sitting on the throne. And we're going to be able to see that someday in the future. What we're going to look at now is our final point, is how do angels minister to us as believers? You know, if I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin, and I believe and said that I believe, Jesus, that you died for me, that there's no way I could get to heaven apart from you, and I ask to receive his life that only God gives me, and I realize that Jesus is the only way that I can get to heaven and the only true God, and I want to follow him. Then when you have done that, you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then angels are there to minister for you through various different ways. Okay, the first way is they reveal truth to us. God used angels to communicate his will and the word to us as believers. If you turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 11 through 20, but we're going to look at verse 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, standing there willingly and wanting to share God's word to him. Zechariah, if you want to turn to that book, chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, and like a man who was awakened out of a sleep. To hear God can use angels to deliver us and to share truth to us about what direction he wants us to go or where he wants us to go. He could use angels to do that. Now, number two is that he will help, angels could be used to help guide us in the will of God. If you turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Arise, go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" Now this is the part where an angel had told Philip, and Philip was going to meet the Ethiopian treasurer and was going to share with him scriptures, and that man later on, what we read, is going to accept Christ because he did that. But God had used an angel to give a direction to Philip on where he should go next. If you also look in Acts of 11, verse 13, it says, "And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter.'" And in this passage, Peter was going to come and share about how God sets us free from the Old Testament law. And Peter was going to start to share to Gentiles, which is me and probably most people out there, who's not Jewish, the truth of God's word and how we can accept Christ and how we can get saved. And the one that told him to send or to bring Simon or Peter was an angel that God had sent. Now, number three, angels can provide needs to us that we have. If you look at Genesis chapter 21, verse 17, it says, "And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is.'" So God heard the voice of the boy cry, and God was going to take care of Hagar. You read the rest of Genesis chapter 1, and you see how God tells Hagar through this angel to go back to where she was with Abraham and to be reestablished. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, this is the temptations of Jesus. Jesus had been fasting, gone into the desert to be tempted by the enemy. And it says, actually, if you want to turn to Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the same passages where it talks about this, but we're going to focus mainly on Matthew 4. It says that Jesus, in verse 2, he had been fasting for 40 days and hadn't eaten anything. And in verse 11, it says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him." And they were feeding not only his physical body, but his spiritual body. And they were giving what Jesus needed, and God sent them to minister to him. So there may be times, even right now, where your soul or your heart may be really weak. And what we're going to look at later is not to pray to angels ever, but to ask God to minister to you. And sometimes He may just be using angels to come and deliver to you exactly what God would want. Number four, God uses angels to protect our families and to protect us. If you go to Job chapter 1, verse 10, Satan is before God and he says, God says, "Have you considered my man Job? How righteous he is, how he follows me?" And then Satan says in verse 10, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land." Many biblical professors believe that the word hedge around him could actually be a word for angels. That God had placed angels around the hedge of Job. Not just Job personally, but Job's family, but Job's house, but Job's possessions, but Job's property. Everything that Job had, God was protecting and putting a hedge of protection around him. So if you are really walking with God and your heart is really to follow God, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but if you are really sold out wanting to follow God, then you are able to protect and ask God to put a hedge around your kids. Some of you may not know where your kids are. Some of you may know where your kids are and are not excited about it. They may be in sin. They may be in adultery, or they may have a horrible lifestyle. But there's a story of a man, and every day when he would go into his kids' room, he would pray that God would protect them. And this went on for years. Every day before they went to bed, he would go in, put his hands on his little girl or his little boy and pray for them. And this story was about his little girl. And she went to college. And she came back one day visiting and said, "Mom, has Dad been praying for me even when I'm in college?" She said, "Yes, yes. How do you know?" She says, "I went into my room and I could see his footprints in the carpet. As though I was there, he would walk in and pray for her even though she was in college. I'm going to ask for God's protection on his children." And that is what we are able to do, is ask that God would protect us. And most of the time he could be sending angels and we don't even see it. Let's look at Matthew 18 verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And there's a lot of discussion about this verse, but what I believe is that we may have an angel assigned to us by God. And that angel is assigned to, it says here, that angel is always in the face of God in the face of my Father who is in heaven, which is God, just waiting for orders that God has on how they can protect, how they can serve, how they can do what God wants them to do for us, even as little children, little ones, little kids. So here's a warning: if you are hurting or destroying or harming anyone, then God is going to get vengeance upon you to a degree that you have never experienced in your life. And I can't be more strong or more strict. God is seeing what you are doing, and God will hold you accountable for what you are doing or what you have done. And especially to children at any age. God sees everything you have done, and he will hold you accountable for what you've done. If we look, what else can angels do to us and help us minister to us as believers? The fifth thing that they do is they can be delivering us. They delivered the apostles. If you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." God sent an angel of the Lord to open the prison doors, release the people of God into the community to share what God was doing and the power of God. Also to Peter. If we go to Acts chapter 12, verse 7. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, 'Get up quickly.' And the chains fell off his hand." God sent this angel. Peter had been arrested by human efforts, was chained up by human chains. God sent this angel to wake up Peter. The chains fell off him, and Peter walks out the door, and he visits the house of the people that were praying that God would release Peter. And there's a story. Corrie ten Boom told a story of how she was visiting a nation that had been closed to the Bible. And she had her suitcase filled with Bibles. And she noticed five people up that the guards were opening every suitcase to see what was in, to see if there was any contraband. And if there was, you'd be arrested. She knew, if they look in my suitcase, I will be arrested, put in jail, and could probably die. So right there, she prayed and said, "God, this suitcase has your word in it. And you have said that you protect your word in Scripture. So I'm asking you to protect your word." And when she looked over at her suitcase, she saw two angels, men just as it's described in the Bible, dressed in white clothes, standing next to her suitcase. She said that was the only time her entire life she has seen angels. And the man came over, he picked up the suitcase and said, "Whoa, this is heavy." And she said, "God, I will never lie." She said, "Yes, it is very heavy." And he came and he took the suitcase and he put it on the conveyor belt. And there the conveyor belt went with the Bibles, and he never looked into it. God protected his word. There are other missionary stories. We could tell you so many stories of missionaries. They had traveled to the remotest parts of Africa and Asia. And when they went to this village, these men, they had bow and arrows, and they could shoot a squirrel from a tree and you couldn't even see the squirrel. They were perfect marksmen. And they would pull their bow and arrows, they would shoot at the missionaries, and the arrow would come straight for their face, right between their eyes. And as it would come closer, it would miss and be moved out of the way, pushed out of the way. That God could use these angels to push those arrows out of the way. And what glory it brings to God of how he can use what he created as these ministers were going in there to minister, and these angels God could send to protect them from how these people wanted to destroy them. Angels can also be sent, the sixth thing, to strengthen and encourage us. And oftentimes, even today, you may need strengthening and encouraging in your physical life and even in your spiritual life, more importantly. Jesus in the Garden of Eden. If you turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 42 and 43. Jesus saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. That was Luke 22, 42 through 43. Paul on the boat. Paul was headed on the boat. There was this storm that came and everyone may die. It was so horrific. And an angel appeared to him. If you turn to Acts chapter 27, verse 23. "For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship." And then in verse 24, 25, Paul begins to share how the angel said that he is going to keep Paul alive, because that's what God wants. And also, God has spared all the other men on the boat also, because Paul needed to get to this location, and that's what God wanted. But if they left the boat, Paul said that they would die. And so God would protect them if they were on the boat, and if they decided they got off, they didn't believe what he was saying, they wouldn't make it. If we look, the seventh thing that they can do is they are God's agents in answering our prayers. If you look at Daniel, that's in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Most people know of Daniel in the lion's den. That's Daniel. Chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, Daniel is given a vision by God. And this vision scared Daniel. And so he fasted and prayed and really was seeking God for an answer for what this vision may mean. So verse 10 and 11, "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you, and when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling." And then the angel begins to tell him the message that God had for him. Also, in the early church, okay, this is right when Jesus went up to heaven in the book of Acts. This is chapter 12, verse 5. "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." And that's where Peter gets released from prison, is they are praying earnestly for God to work. And that is a good word for us. Are we really praying earnestly for God to work in your life, for God to work in my life, for God to work in your city, in my city, in your country? You know, you may not be able to meet the president or the king where you are, but God can. And you can be praying earnestly. If you have other believers around you, you could be praying earnestly that God would reach the hearts of the people around you. And even though Peter was kept in bars and in prisons, God sent angels in there to minister to him and to release him for where he was. Now, angels also attend to the righteous dead. If we look at Lazarus, this is Luke chapter 16, verse 22. It says, "The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried." In this verse, it shared that here the poor man died and an angel was sent by God to take this poor man up to Abraham's side, or other theologians say that that could be a reference to heaven, and just the way it's described. Moses, if you look in the book of Jude, and that's a small book, only has one chapter, and verse 9, that's in the New Testament, it says, "But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" And here Michael the archangel was talking to Satan about the body of Moses, and when Satan was bringing up things, Michael just said, "The Lord rebuke you." And somewhere, no one knows where the body of Moses is, because God used Michael to hide the body of Moses. What we're going to look at now is how to conclude, and how can we use this information and what we've looked at to transform our lives. Because that's our prayer. It's that this wouldn't just be information, but God would use this to encourage you and to encourage other believers in your daily walk with God. Hebrews chapter 11, or sorry, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Most of us think of angels as huge wings or face like a lion or a man and wearing only white clothes and things like that. But there may be your next door neighbor, or there may be someone walking on the side of the road that may be an angel, and we could minister to them. Now, what it means by I can have been entertaining angels unaware is I could be in the presence of an angel that God has sent and I am unaware of it. It's not that I minister to the angels, but they can in turn minister to me. And they can be sharing truth. And sometimes, and I don't know if you maybe have experienced this, but there are some people I know, and I truly believe that they were in contact with an angel and they didn't know. There's a story in my own life. I was on an airplane and I was sitting in the back row and I was actually late. And I sat there and there was an open seat next to me. And I was supposed to go to my friend's wedding, but because of turbulence in the airplane, it had to turn back and I missed my friend's wedding. But this man came down and I sat there and I told him I'm a biblical counselor and we had this amazing talk about God and how God loved him, how God cared for him and was there with him. And at the end I said, you know, I think God wanted me to miss my friend's wedding so that I would be able to sit here and talk with you. And this man said he was in the military and he said, I think so too. And I wonder, well, how do you know? I don't think you knew that my friend was having a wedding. And he pulled out his airplane assigned seat, and he was sitting in my seat was 13A, and he was sitting in 13B, and on his ticket it said 6A. And oftentimes we as people go to our assigned seating, and someone was sitting in his seat. And I don't know who. I may think it could be an angel, it could just be somebody else. But I do know there are people where a stranger had spoken into their life as if that stranger knew exactly what was going on, and it really encouraged them and gave them truth that they hadn't seen before. And afterwards, they may have realized, huh, that could have been an angel. Okay. Here are warnings about understanding and looking at the topic of angels. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. Let's look there. The last book of the Bible. This is John. John was the one who got to, God gave him the book of Revelation, and he wrote it all down. And so he's the one that's speaking. And it says, and an angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true worshipers of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And here, one of our desires oftentimes as Christians and as believers is to worship angels. And we are never told to worship angels, because angels are someone that God created. And God says that we are only to worship Him and no one else. And so I'm never told in the Bible to command angels to do this for me or to help me or to encourage me. But what we are told is that angels can build a hedge of protection around us. So I could say, God, would you protect my friend over here? God, would you protect my daughter, my son, as they go on this trip, or if they're in school, or if they're studying? I'm going to conclude with this last quote by Charles Fred Dickinson. He was the head theologian at Moody for 20 years. And he said, Scripture indicates that the ministry of angels to men is primarily external and physical, whereas the ministry of the Holy Spirit is internal and spiritual. Angels minister for us but the Holy Spirit ministers in us. And Fred Dickinson wrote a book on angels and demons called Electing and Evil. And if you want to dig deeper into the study of angels and look at how angels can minister to us even more in depth, then I'd encourage you to pick up his book and to read through it and to grab your Bible and to really study on this topic of angels. So I want to close in prayer and just thank God for the time that we've had today. Father, I just want to thank you for just who you are. And Father, I just want to thank you for the men and the women that are watching this video, that you would just use this to encourage them, to strengthen them. Father, I just want to thank you for your creation of angels and how you use them to encourage us, to protect us, help us when we need, when we have needs and things like that. And so, Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us and who brings truth to our mind. And Father, we just pray that all the glory for this video and the next one to follow would come to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.